And last week we dealt with guilt. And tonight I want to deal with the emotion of bitterness. Bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. While you're finding that, a news story heard on the local news told of an elderly lady. She was driving a big, new, expensive car. She was going to parallel park into a spot that was kind of hard to find. And just as she had pulled up and was ready to back in, a young man in a sports car just zipped right into that spot. You ever have that happen to you? And this woman, she was so mad. She said, "What? You knew I was going to park there. Why did you do that?" He said, "Man, because I'm young and I'm quick." Well, he went away and he came back and he saw this woman using this big, beautiful new car as a battering ram to smash in his car. She would put it in reverse, smash it. It was a kind of a long car. She kind of made it a Volkswagen by the time he got out there. And very with anger, he said, "Why would you do that?" She said, "Because I'm old and I'm rich." That's called getting even. Well, I want to talk to you about this thing of resentment and bitterness sometimes that well up in us when there's been a hurt. And we want to give rise and we want to vent these destructive feelings and emotions. And these are the things that God wants us to deal with in our own hearts. Someone said a bitter heart is a bad heart and often a boiling heart, boiling with anger and with rage. Another person said bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves the soul in darkness. Bitterness is a blight that will contaminate you. It is a burden, someone said, that will crush you. It is a blaze that will cook you in its own juices. Now look in Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is what God's Word has to say about bitterness. A person who's bitter is often like a porcupine. They have a lot of good points. They're just very hard to get near because they're very harsh, they're very critical, they're very judgmental, or sarcastic and filled with anger. Someone said they're kind of like an iceberg. They're very cool, very aloof, very distant. They may be polite towards people, but somewhat indifferent. They have whole body language says, "I don't need people. I don't need you." And like an iceberg, their problem is often hidden below the surface. Another one said that a bitter person is more like a crybaby. They're sullen and they wallow in their self-pity, and they're always filled with angry feelings. This is just part of what it is to be bitter. And let me just say this. Bitterness can do untold damage to a person. It can do untold damage to a home. It can do untold damage to a church. Write down Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. Husbands can sometimes, while the wife is the better half, sometimes husbands can be the bitter half. And the Bible gives a very strict warning about this. Now, I think that bitterness does more to hinder the work of the Spirit of God in your life than liberalism or alcoholism or any of these other things out there. Bitterness in your own heart can hinder the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It can do it in a home. It can do it in a church. And so it's a very, very dangerous and destructive thing that must be dealt with. So with that in mind, I want to show you just three things from our passage today about dealing with bitterness. And number one, I want to talk about the seed of bitterness. And secondly, I want to talk about the spread of bitterness. And then thirdly, we'll end it up by talking about the solution to bitterness. Number one, the seed. Think about the seed of bitterness. How is bitterness planted? Look again in verse number 15. Look at the word bitterness there. And this really comes from an old root word meaning to bite. It's a very suggestive word. Bitterness is like being bitten by that old serpent, Satan. We read this in Acts. Write down Acts 8, verse 23. Peter said to Simon, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." The word gall here has the idea it means a poison. And so we could say it like this. Bitterness is a poison. Would it be fair to say that bitterness is kind of like Satan, the serpent Satan, biting an individual and depositing that poison in a person that will affect that whole individual. Now, how does a person get bitter? How does it start? Well, the seed of bitterness is a hurt that is planted in the heart of some person, a hurt that is done against you. Bitterness is the offspring of this unhealed hurt. Someone said the parents are unforgiveness and time. That seed planted into a soil of an unforgiving heart, and in time it develops into bitterness. But the bottom line is, the seed is when someone hurts you. That may be intentional. There are some people, mean people out there, that intend to hurt you. You know that? We live in a mean world. We live in a cruel world. And sometimes, friend, it surprises me to find that even so-called Christians can be very mean, can be very vindictive, and they mean to hurt others. But then it might be unintentional. The hurt could be unintentional. If someone didn't mean to hurt you, but you were hurt just the same. And they don't even know, perhaps, that they have hurt you, but you were hurt. In my lifetime, I've had people come up to me from time to time, and they said, you know, I just want you to forgive me. Well, really, for what? Well, because I've been angry at you for something that you did. And then they would go and tell me of something I did. I didn't even know I did it. Now, please don't do that, all right? Don't let me have to deal with that emotion, all right? Just forgive me and move on, all right? And I'll do the same with you. But sometimes a person might be hurt, and it may be unintentional, or it may be imagined. Sometimes a person is hurt, but it's only really in their imagination. They think that someone has tried to hurt you or something that they've done, but actually they haven't. And so these are imagined wounds. But sometimes it could be just the chastisement of God, which is really the context of Hebrews chapter 12, if you look at it. And we looked at this, I think, on Wednesday night. Hebrews 12, verses 7 to 13 deal with God's chastening. Sometimes God will have to chastise His children. Back up to verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Sometimes our wise Heavenly Father has to give His children divine strokes to chastise us when we've erred and we need correction. But sometimes, instead of submitting to that correction and humbling ourselves under the hand of God, there are people that grow bitter. And it may be the chastisement of God that has brought some hurt into your life. God's intending it to make you better, but instead you don't accept it, you reject it, and you get bitter. But here's the bottom line. This whole world is filled with people who have not dealt with old hurts. They just refuse to deal with it. They rather would rather nurse it. They hold on to it. They don't want to let go of those feelings. For some reason, they find some kind of a weird comfort in nursing a grudge. And a grudge never gets better by nursing. It only gets worse. And so what happens? These people become angry and bitter and hypercritical. You ever meet people that are hypercritical? Generally, they are bitter people. And they know how to push other people's buttons. They want to get other people angry with them. They want other people to be bitter. And so it makes them feel better somehow. And so this is how bitterness starts. But then who is it directed to? And again, we kind of alluded to this, but I think about Jeremiah the prophet. If you read Jeremiah the prophet, he went through a lot of difficulty in his ministry. And at one point in the prophecy of Jeremiah, he just says, God, he gets angry at God. He says, God, you tricked me getting me into this thing. Into this ministry, and here I'm taking all this abuse. And so he got angry at God and he got angry at man. And that's really the two places that bitterness is directed. It is directed manward. It is horizontal. It is against our fellow man. There may be some people here tonight. A spouse may have walked out on you, and you still haven't been able really to deal with that. It may have happened years ago. Or maybe a business partner cheated on you, cheated you out of money, or was dishonest and didn't show integrity and left you holding the bag, and you haven't been able to deal with that. A friend violated your trust. A father may have abused you. And on we could go. And your bitterness is directed to man, others. And there are some, their bitterness is directed to God. They are just angry at the Lord. I read of a woman who survived the sinking of the Titanic, but her husband did not survive. And she got angry at God, and she said when the Titanic went down, God went down with the Titanic in my heart. And she had been angry at the Lord. I was also interested to read this. Do you know all the presidents that serve our country, they all use a Bible in their inauguration. They put their hand on the Bible and say, "So help me God." Except there is one president in the United States that didn't do that. He refused to do it. You know who it is? President Franklin Pierce. Because just prior to his inauguration, the president-elect Pierce and his wife and his 11-year-old son, Benny, were involved in a train wreck. Now, Franklin Pierce and his wife were not harmed, but his son was killed in that train wreck. And Pierce said, "How could God allow such a thing to happen?" And at the inauguration, he refused to put his hand on the Bible and refused to swear by the Bible because he was so angry at the Lord. And there are some people like that. They're just angry. It's an inward resentment. It's a bitterness towards men, or it's a bitterness towards God. And it is eating them up. But it starts with a hurt planted in the soil of a heart that is unforgiving. And in time, it just grows. And here's the second point, leads to the second point. Not only the seed of bitterness, but write down number two, the spread of bitterness. Because look again at verse 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up." Notice where it says springing up there. And that's the idea. It grows. And many are defiled. You see, if bitterness would just stay in its own container, it wouldn't be so bad. But that's not the way with bitterness. It spreads out. It grows. That's the nature of it. I was reading about a plant called the kudzu plant. You ever heard of that plant? It's native to Japan, but it was brought here to the U.S. first kind of as an ornamental shade plant, but then it was used to control soil erosion because it would grow so fast. And it was planted in a certain, when it first came to the U.S., in a certain state, Georgia. And they say that by 1948, it had taken over about 500,000 acres. And it would just continue to grow. You know why? Because it can grow up to a foot a day, 100 feet in a single growing season. And what it does is it's able to choke out all the other native plants. That's what the kudzu plant does. Now, bitterness is the kudzu plant of the heart, because once it's planted there, it grows rapidly and it chokes out any other and every other seeming virtue that is in the heart. And it doesn't allow it to grow. That's why the Bible speaks of the root of bitterness, because the root, by definition, has to grow and seeks to grow. It seeks to spread. That's what roots do. They just spring up. They spread out. And another thing about a root is a root is hidden. And again, I say that bitterness sometimes is hard to recognize because people do such a good job of hiding it. We're so very good at hiding sometimes these inward emotions. But like a root, you can't hide it forever. It's going to bear the fruit. You can't hide it forever. And so, let's talk a little bit about the root here. People, again, with bitterness, they either deny it or they disguise it. But let's kind of dig around the roots here. What is a bitter person like? Well, they're very sensitive. A person who's bitter, you have to be careful what you say around them. It's kind of like walking on eggshells all the time, because they can go off. And if a group of people are talking in a room and a person walks in, this bitter person can walk in and the people stop talking, that person automatically assumes they were talking about me. They're just very sensitive. But also they have very little or no gratitude. I've never seen a bitter person that was thankful or was filled with gratitude. You can't be bitter and thankful at the same time. You can't have a heart of praise and worship and a bitter heart at the same time. They just can't happen. But also, a person who is bitter will either harshly criticize or they will vainly flatter, one or the other. They will say behind your back what they wouldn't say to your face. They'll say to your face what they wouldn't say behind your back. But they'll never deal with you on a truth level, on a genuine level. But also, a bitter person will hold grudges. They just find it very hard to forgive. And because of that, they're given to mood swings. And on we could go. This is the hidden root. But then let's talk about the fruit of bitterness. Again, verse 15, springing up and trouble you. What's it going to do in verse 15? It's going to trouble you. Look at the word trouble there. Sometimes it's translated vexed. And again, it's the idea of pushing out the good things. It will push out the good things in your heart. And friend, you can be bitter and angry at others, but it's only going to hurt you ultimately. It's only going to trouble you. I read a story about Roman soldiers in ancient days. They were angry at Caesar because of their rations. And they knew they couldn't complain to Caesar because it might mean their life. And so they got angry at the gods and they shot their arrows in the skies hoping to hit the gods. Kind of a foolish thing, isn't it? And you know what happened to those arrows, don't you? They came right back down on them. And sometimes that's what bitter people will do. Do something irrational. And it'll come back on them. It will trouble you. How will it trouble you? First of all, it will trouble you right down physically. You know, I was doing some reading on this. Did you know that doctors have done a lot of research about this attitude of bitterness and getting even, and they have concluded that there's a lot of physical sickness that results from this. Ulcers and high blood pressure and strokes and other things like that are all connected to resentment and hatred and ill will and bitterness. One doctor said this. They say that it could be truthfully written on many death certificates the victim died from grudgetitis. A kind of a made up medical term there. Bitterness. In his book, None of These Diseases, S.I. McMillan talks about 50 diseases that are triggered by emotions. And the primary emotion that he talks about is the emotion of bitterness. The famous cardiologist John Hunter, he said this. He said, the first scoundrel that gets me angry will kill me. Because he knew what it could do to his heart. And he was already having heart trouble. And you know, ironically, later in a meeting, at a medical meeting, a man got him angry and he got so angry and he fell dead of a heart attack right there. He prophesied his own death. Interesting. It'll affect you physically. Secondly, it will affect you emotionally. Your emotions will be devastated. It takes a heavy toll on your heart and on your life. And like I said, it doesn't stay in its own container. A person who is bitter will act out and lash out against people he's not even angry at. Why? Because that emotion of bitterness takes over the heart so much that people that you genuinely love will be the one subject to your bitter rage. And it'll affect you emotionally. And it will crush you. Again, I can give illustrations. Otto von Bismarck, he was the Chancellor of Germany during the First World War. Toward the end of his life, he got mired in bitterness. And one morning he got up out of bed and he proudly announced to his household, quote, I have spent the whole night hating. How'd you like to spend a night like that? And then he eventually wrote his memoirs, and in that memoirs he just spilled out his bitterness towards everyone. And it was said of him that he died a broken man, broken in health, broken in emotions, broken in every other way. Not a way to live your life. It will affect you physically. It will affect you emotionally. But friend, it will affect you spiritually. You know why? God's desire for you is to grow in holiness, and hatefulness and holiness can't live in the same heart. It just can't. Look in Ephesians. Hold your place here in Hebrews. Go back to Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, because Ephesians 4 has a lot to say to us about this. And look at verse number 26. Go back to Ephesians 4, verse number 26. And notice what it says there. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That is, don't let things fester. Don't harbor hostility. And then he says this, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. That's just another way of saying, don't let the root of bitterness spread. Don't give it a place. Now look in verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now this verse here basically shows a chain reaction that takes place when bitterness festers in the heart. When there's that root of bitterness, And then it begins to produce these fruits here. And notice there's the word bitterness there, harboring a hurt. Then wrath, that's the idea of heat, that which is hot. It's inward, something that smolders. You know. And then there's the word anger, which is more of an outward. You're showing it outwardly. Wrath is inwardly, where you have these feelings that are smoldering inside, and then eventually they just come out. You know, what would happen if you take a garbage can and you put some rags in that garbage can and just kind of started a little fire there, put a little match in there, and they kind of smolder. And then you take that garbage can and you put it into a closet. Well, those rags will smolder inside that closet. What's going to happen when a person opens and that little fire gets oxygen? It's going to flame up. And see, friend, that's the way it is with bitterness. It starts with a hurt. There's wrath that you hold on the inside. You hide it very well. But eventually, the door will open. Oxygen will get to it. Someone will come along and say something to you. And that anger will come out. And what's the next thing it says? Wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is where we lose control of our tongue. And we get loud and we get angry. And, you know, you've seen people in an argument. Don't get so loud. I'm not loud. Yes, you are. It's clamor. And then what's next? Evil speaking. You begin to say evil things. The devil comes alongside and begins to coach you. And you can say things that you never thought you would ever say. In an argument, perhaps with a relative, a wife, a son, you could say something like, I wish we were never married. Now, you would never say that. You would never say that under normal circumstances. But now you're filled with anger and clamor and now evil speaking. And you don't mean that. But you're so filled with wrath. Or you say to a child, I'm ashamed of you. I wish we never would have had you. And I want to tell you something, friend. When you say those things, you can't take them back. They will hurt others. That's evil speaking. And then it goes to malice. Look in verse number 31. Be put away with you with all malice. Malice is just you want to hurt someone. And this is where a husband will abuse a wife, push a wife. He'll smack his children in the face or with his fist, or he'll begin to be abusive and hurtful and want to really, really hurt someone. And by the way, did you notice that we live in a world where there are just people that are like that all over? They just want to hurt somebody. It doesn't matter, just anybody. They want to lash out in anger. They want to use either whatever weapon they can, a knife, a gun. That's why we hear these stories of people going in the workplace using some kind of a weapon, killing other people. Where does it start? It starts with bitterness in the heart. And it has this chain reaction of wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. But it all starts at the beginning with bitterness. And so this is the spread of it. This is why it's so dangerous. So very dangerous. Now, write down the third thing. We talked about the seed of bitterness and the spread of bitterness, but write down number three, the solution. The solution. Go back to, and by the way, look at Ephesians 4:32, though. I want to go back here to Hebrews 12. But before we do, look in Ephesians 4:32, the last verse, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And there's the solution, friend. But go back to Hebrews 12, and Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, we need God's grace. So here's the first thing. Let God reveal it to our heart. Let God reveal it. If you have bitterness in your heart, sometimes it's underground, it's hard to see, it's like a root. But sometimes we need to just say, God, show me my heart. Now, remember last week I talked about confessing sin and dealing with guilt. And remember I said that an evil heart's not going to turn into an evil heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our hearts are not going to turn ourselves in. We have to have some source to show us our heart. And our hearts are revealed to us through the Word of God. When you're reading God's Word, the Word of God will reveal us. But also, it's the Holy Spirit. Remember I said, Psalm 39, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Sometimes people say, well, I know my heart. I know there's no bitterness there. Really? Are you sure about that? Are you sure there's not some hidden, covered up bitterness. Let God reveal it. Would you be willing to pray and say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And let God reveal it, but then let grace remove it. This is the second thing. Let grace remove it. Notice where it says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And let me just tell you this. Only and the grace of God can remove this from your heart. We can't do it ourselves. You see, the grace of God is remembering that God has forgiven us, and it will be the grace of God that will help us to forgive others. It takes two to forgive. That's Jesus and you. It has to be the grace of God. Grace is the desire and ability to do the will of God. And God's grace will give you that ability and desire to forgive and to let it go. Let grace remove it. Again, Ephesians 4:31, we looked at it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. The word put away here means to dispose of. Literally, it means to throw it into the trash can. Get it out. God's grace can help you to remove it and throw it away and to dispose of it. In the book, The Last Years, Charles Flood talks about the Civil War, and after the Civil War, he writes about the General Robert E. Lee, who was general for the Confederate Army, and after the Confederates had lost the war, he had visited a lady in Kentucky, and she took him outside in her yard. And she said, I want you to see this old tree, this grand old tree. This tree had been a family heirloom. And she said, look at this tree. She said, this is what the Union Army did to this tree. And now this tree was all deformed. Branches were missing. And the trunk of it was so messed up from cannon fire and gunfire. It was deformed. It was defaced. All by the Union Army. And she showed him that tree. And she was expecting some sympathy from General Lee. And she looked at General Lee, and she said, what should I do about this? And General Lee looked at her after a moment of silence, and he said, Madam, cut it down and forget it. Cut it down and forget it. That's good advice. This is what God's Word tells us. This root and fruit of bitterness, cut it down and then forget it. Neither give place to the devil, the Bible says. Get it out of your life. Don't let it stay there. Well, you say, well, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. They couldn't have done anything worse to you than what the world did to our Lord Jesus. No one did anything worse to you than what they did to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. He is our example. Again, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You have to practice now in this thing of removing it and putting it away and throwing it away and disposing of it or cutting it down. You have to practice the forgiveness that was modeled and exemplified in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. Well, it doesn't matter. This is not an emotion. God doesn't command emotions. He just says, do it. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. This is in the imperative mood. God is commanding us. It's not an emotion. It's a command. God says, just do it. You see, we have this idea that if we don't feel like forgiving, then we can't forgive. And that's not true. We don't operate based on feelings. We just do what God says do. Many times forgiveness is frustrated by these negative emotions that we have nursed in our heart and has been lingering in our heart. But forgiveness is not a feeling. It's just a decision that you make, even though you don't feel like it. You decide, I will let it go. I will forgive. And you know what? You do it volitionally. You do it as a decision. And you know what? You'll find out your heart will catch up later. Don't worry about your heart. You say, I'm going to forgive. And the emotions will come to play. They'll fall in place later on. It's a decision. You choose not to bring it up. You choose to let it go. And so it is a deliberate decision. I make a decision. I will not harbor this. I will let it go. I will forget it. Whatever the hurt is, I'm going to let it go. A friend of Clara Barton, the founder of American Red Cross, once reminded her of an especially cruel thing that someone had done to her. And Miss Barton said, "I don't remember." She said, "You don't remember? How could you not remember?" She said, I remembered that I was going to forget it. And that's what she did. She just said, "I forget it. That's it." You know what it is? It's a decision to release the offender from his guilt. Whatever he or she or they had done, you release them. It's like the gavel going down in the courtroom of your heart and saying, "Not guilty." That's it. I'm going to release them. It's the choice to refuse to bring up that offense anymore. You don't talk about it anymore. A lot of times people say, "Oh, I forgave this person, but guess what they did to me?" That's not forgiveness. You're making them suffer by bringing it up again to other people. Forgiveness is a choice that you're not that they're not guilty, that you're not going to bring it up against them or talk about it anymore. It's a refusal to even think about it, to dwell on it. It's a refusal to talk about it. You completely forget it. And it's a desire to be reconciled even with the offender as much as possible. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I forgive you, but I don't want to see your ugly face ever again." That's not forgiveness. You are reconciled as much as possible with the offender. It's a deliberate decision. You say, "Well, they don't deserve it." That's why it's called forgiveness. It's undeserved. Biblical forgiveness is undeserved. Biblical forgiveness is a deliberate decision. Biblical forgiveness is total. That is, you're going to forgive them from all the offenses. "Well, I'll forgive this, but I'm not going to forgive that." No, it's total and it's final. That's it. That's exactly how God forgives you. God doesn't bring up any of the offenses against that you've done. It's all forgotten. And by the way, divine omniscience chooses not to bring it back up. It's gone. It's over. Done with. Let God reveal it. Let grace remove it completely. But then thirdly, let good replace it. Look at verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And again, you can't be holy unless you follow peace with all men, unless you get the hatred or the bitterness out of your heart and completely and totally forgive. You basically let them off the hook, and you let yourself off the hook, and you follow after good. And you know what you're going to find? When you uproot bitterness in your heart, there's going to be joy. There's going to be happiness. I heard about some little children that were fighting and arguing, and the mother came and she scolded them, and then she put them to bed. And right in the middle of the night, there was this ferocious storm. And you know how scared children are. So she went upstairs to check on the kids, and she looked in the room, and they weren't there. And then she heard some rustling in the closet, and she went over, and she opened the door, and there were the kids all together in the closet. And she said, "What are you doing in there?" And they said, "We're forgiving one another." Let me tell you something, friend. We need to forgive one another before the storm starts. And let it go. Get out that root of bitterness. And remember the forgiveness and grace that God has given us in our life. Just get it out. That's the solution. The seed of bitterness is a hurt hidden in the heart, in the soil of unforgiveness and time. The spread of bitterness, it produces fruit around you that will hurt you and hurt others. And the solution to bitterness is, by the grace of God and by a choice of my will, to release that hurt and the offender by faith. For the glory of God, I release it. Now, friend, you have a choice to make. You can choose to nurse whatever hurts you have and allow that bitterness to grow and affect you and affect others. But that's no way to live. And it's certainly not the way a child of God should live. It's not the way God wants you to live. Or you can let it go. You can get victory by the grace of God. Let me give you this one illustration and I'm done. So often I use illustrations about Corrie Ten Boom because she's such a model in many of these areas, especially in forgiveness. You know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman. She hid Jews from the Nazis, and eventually she and her sister were placed in a Nazi prison camp. And there was one guard in that camp that was especially cruel to her and her sister. He was just one of those guards who loved to taunt them. And when they went through the delousing shower, this guard would say obscene things and just make them feel so very low and just kind of rape them with his eyes. Just an evil person. And eventually she got out of that prison, but her sister died. And years later, Corrie Ten Boom was speaking at a Christian gathering. And after she spoke, they were standing around, they were fellowshipping. And here was this guard that was walking towards her. And now he was a Christian. And he had come to her and he had asked her for forgiveness for what he had done. And let me read to you what she wrote, because it's so very insightful. She said, "I stood there with coldness clutching at my heart. But I know that the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. I pray, Jesus, help me. Woodenly and mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out for me. And I experienced an incredible thing. The current started in my shoulders and raced down into my arms and sprang into our clutched hands. Then this warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. And I said, 'I forgive you, brother.' I cried with my whole heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner." And then she said this, "I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did at that moment." Now, let me tell you something, friend. That was of God. That was something that was supernatural. That was a God moment. And here, this Dutch woman did not fail of the grace of God. She, by the grace of God, was able to let it all go, to remove it all. And she felt such peace and such power and such joy. Now, friend, that is God's will for you tonight. He wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to walk in power. And if there's anything that you're holding or harboring, friend, let it go. Let it go. Don't fail of the grace of God. Let God reveal it. Let grace remove it. Let good replace it. And get it out for the glory of God. Let's bow for prayer tonight. So, Lord, we are so grateful for your word and how it is so practical for us. And, Lord, we need it. We need it. We're fallen creatures. And our tendency is to hold on to hurts and to allow them to fester. We know this is not the way to holiness. This is not the way to peace. This is not the way to joy. So, Lord, help us to not fail the grace of God, to by your grace let go freely, deliberately, by a choice of our will, to let go, to put away any and all hurts, so that we can say there's no root left in my heart. Bitterness and hurt has been uprooted. And friend, you can leave here tonight with that. You can leave tonight with that. Father, may it be so that they leave tonight with nothing in their heart. And their heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. And friend, I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. And it may be that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about the seed or the root that is there in your heart tonight towards someone, something, some hurt in the past. You need to be free of that. It's not hurting anyone else. It's only hurting you. Get it out of your heart. Let it go. Put it away by the grace of God. And make a choice to forgive. Fully and freely, totally, completely forgive. It's gone. And I want the grace of God to fill that spot. I want His love and His peace and His joy to fill that spot where the root once was. Friend, if that's your prayer, would you lift your hand tonight and say, "By God's grace, I'm going to let it go. By the grace of God, I'm letting it go." That's your prayer. God sees your hands. I'm letting it go. That hurt, that wound, I'm letting it go. And I'm asking God to fill that void with His grace. God bless you. God sees that. Father, you see these that are your children. By your grace, Lord, help them to be fully free from any root of bitterness that is in their heart and life. And Lord, fill their heart with your love. Fill them with your peace and your joy. Give them a freedom that they've never experienced before. And Lord, we thank you for how you can do your work in our hearts through your word. We thank you in advance for the blessings that you will give. And we pray in Jesus' name.